Middays with Mannix and Mannix. It is your finally Friday edition, and it's time for us to talk about the local sports scene with our Southern Maine High School Sports Report. And we are joined once again by the proprietor and writer, of course, at Hoffer's High School Sports, Michael Hoffer, back with us once again. Michael, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I've been called a lot of things. I don't think that the proprietor's been used yet, so thank you. I like the sound.
Well, you got to change it up every now and again, so, you know, and proprietor is, you know, kind of an expensive word, I guess. So
yes, many syllables. I like it.
Yes, yes, love that, absolutely. Well, another week closer here to state championship weekend now in high school sports, of course, in June. We'll get the track championship soon. We'll get the tennis team championship soon. Of course, we did just have the singles and doubles championships in tennis, so we've already got some trophies handed out now
right.
This spring.
Yeah, I mean, it happens quick, too. I mean, we've got about a week and a half left to the regular season in baseball, softball, lacrosse. So 4 weeks from tonight, we'll have a couple lacrosse state games, and then 4 weeks from tomorrow, we're wrapping everything up. So it's a mad dash, and it's already starting to feel that way. I mean, this week's been insane with the amount of games I've been able to get to and a ton going on, and thankfully the weather cooperated a little bit, even though it got a little too hot. So it's just a lot happening right now.
Well, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not sure if you were able to get to it, but I thought we had a pretty good matchup on the baseball diamond here this week with Gorham. And I saw what it was, 2-1 final there in what looked like a pretty classic game. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how the Class A baseball rankings panned out. I know last week when we talked to you, the rain had kept you off the baseball diamond, Michael, so hopefully you were able to get out there with a little bit of nice weather this week.
Yeah, I was finally. Got to catch a couple games, including that aforementioned game. That was the Tuesday night. I think it was 90 degrees at first pitch, if not hotter. You know, it felt like a midsummer's night and just a great night for baseball. Huge crowd under the lights there at Gorham. And Gorham, behind Hunter Fink, their ace, who's, you know, verbally committed to going to Alabama, edged out Portland, who got a great pitching performance from Nate Masters. Just a couple of clutch two-out hits for Gorham proved to be the difference. And Fink couldn't quite go the distance. He went 6 2/3, and they hit the pitch count. Dante Cuesta came in and got the last out. He actually had to get the last out twice. He got a strikeout, but the strike three got away, scoring South Portland's run, and then he had to get that last out again, but he did that. So kind of symbolic of where Class A South baseball is right now, with all these teams so close to each other. You know, that was South Portland's first loss. Severus with one loss. They've really maybe been the story of the season so far, coming off a 3-win season a year ago. They've won 11 games already this year. They've won 7 straight. They hit the ball they hit the ball as well as anybody. They get some really good pitching. Ryan Kopp's just done a great job with that team this year. They're coming on. You know, don't look now, Thornton Academy, one of the preseason favorites, who started 2-2. They've now won 6 straight. They're sitting at 8-2. Got a huge showdown tomorrow between Scarborough and South Portland. South Portland, until that game at Gorham the other day, hadn't lost. They've been playing really well. Scarborough, who, you know, won the championship in 2024. Seemed like they were the team to beat last year until they got upset by TA in the playoffs. It got off to a little bit of a slow start. They were scuffling a couple weeks ago, but now they're really starting to put it together. You know, Massabesic quietly putting together a good year. They're the only team that's beaten Gorham so far. So, you know, there's a lot of teams to talk about. Even, you know, the Stanford, Zabani Eagles, Falmouth, teams that no one's going to want to play come tournament time. You know, Noble's been competitive. It's a really, really deep league this year. Pretty much everyone has at least one strong pitcher. And if you match up with that pitcher on a given day, anything's possible. You know how baseball is. You know, one bad inning, one bad pitch, one error, and that can be the difference between moving on in the postseason and going home. And I think that's how close this is going to be when the playoffs begin next month.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Although I do have to say, looking at Gorham here, and now the fact that they're the ones who've handed Chevres and South Portland their only losses. Yeah, they've got 1-2, but anytime you're able to hand that one loss so far to some of the best teams, that usually means you're going to be one of those teams in the thick of it here. What do you think of this Gorham team here? Obviously, it's going to be a fight to the finish, but certainly rising towards the top right now.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they you could certainly argue they have the best win so far. And they're going to get another huge test this coming Thursday when TA comes to Gorham for another night game, which I'm looking forward to. So that'll be another big test. But, you know, they have two, you know, lockdown starting pitchers in Miles Brenner and Hunter Fink, who I mentioned. And, you know, even though Wyatt Neto's graduated and he's now at Vanderbilt, you know, Gorham, that pipeline continues to pump out some good talent. And even though they lost Colton Jewett to Chevres, you know, this Gorham pitching staff is still very, very strong. And, you know, defensively they're solid. You know, they can string together hits, but some of the guys at the bottom of the order can come up in the clutch, and that's what we saw the other night. So, yeah, I certainly like their chances. I think they're certainly one of the favorites. I think South Portland has to be viewed that way, too, with their 1-2 pitching combination with Masters and Hudson Iaquessa. You know, TA might have the best top-to-bottom lineup, although I think Chevres might give them a run for that. And then Chevres, you know, with Colton Jewett pitching, you know, all these teams can really make stake a claim that they're going to be the team to beat come you know, early June. But it's going to be fun to see how this all matches up. And then, like I said, you know, you've got a lot of other teams that maybe don't have quite as gaudy a record that on a given day could certainly knock someone off. And, you know, B-South is pretty fascinating, too. Mm-hmm. Freiburg Academy, they were one run shy of playing for a state final last year as an 8th seed. But, you know, they've really had a great run so far. Lake Region's got some big wins already, including over Freiburg Academy. You know, everything I hear about Levitt is they're legit. You know, we don't really see them down here. They don't play teams from the Western Maine Conference, but they've got a gaudy record. You know, Cape Elizabeth with a big come-from-behind win over Greeley yesterday in another game I got to cover. Easily the hottest day I've ever spent in Cape Elizabeth. It was stunning. High 80s. There was no sea breeze, no nothing. You know, Yarmouth overcome a slow start. They've won 6 out of 7 now, and, you know, they're rounding back into title form. And, you know, I keep talking about all these teams, and there's someone that's conspicuous by their absence, and that's Greeley. You got to go all the way down to the 7th spot now to find where the Rangers are. You know, they've really struggled of late. They've lost 5 out of 6. Decisive loss to Freiburg Academy yesterday on the heels of that tough loss at Cape. So they need to turn it around and quick. I still think, you know, they certainly have what it takes to be a factor come tournament time. But, you know, the Rangers have some work to do. And it's really going to be a lot of fun in both A and B to see what happens here.
Yeah, and it's so exciting, too. I mean, we got the chance to catch up with the head coach over there at Wayne Fleet and NYA, yeah, too, talking about, yep, the Class C South Conference. And it's just amazing to see whether it's Class A, B, C, there's so much competition. Like, yeah, 1 through 6, really, it feels like, no matter what bracket you look at, it almost, right, makes us all looking more forward towards the tournament time when it starts up sooner than later, of course, because it does feel like, really, no matter what class you go to in baseball, you can find quite a few teams who are going to have an opportunity to win a state title this year.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned Paul Grazia, the coach for the Wayne Fleet NYA co-op team, who's been very, you know, consistently successful now for many years, and, you know, they've been impressive again this year. And, yeah, I mean, you look at that, Monmouth Academy, it seems like we always talk about them. You know, Old Orchard's had a lot of good teams over the years. Socopee, you know, they've been pumping out, you know, college-caliber talent for many years. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams that are kind of all close bunched together, and that's yet another tournament to watch. They certainly don't get as much attention as the bigger classes, which is unfortunate because there are some really good players in Class C, and I think some of them will make a name for themselves next month.
Yeah, certainly should. As we turn to the softball diamond, another week, another headline grabbing milestone for Addison DeRoche of Chevres. She's up to 500 strikeouts now in high school, and her team is rolling right along as usual now at 11-0.
Yeah, don't blink. She'll be at 600 before the end of the season, I'm pretty sure. You know, just, I said a while ago, run out of adjectives to describe what she does and, you know, just the impact that she has on the sport itself. And, you know, this Chevres team is remarkable. And, I mean, you could take DeRoche out of the pitching circle altogether, and I think Chevres still might be the best team just based on their lineup. And they have so many talented players there. Haley LaMontagne, their terrific senior center fielder, just got her 100th career hit the other day, too. So kudos to her for another milestone there with that program. But, you know, Chevres has passed every test with flying colors. They beat Wyndham 10-0 the other day. That's the second time that they've handled the only team that's been their nemesis here the last couple years. You know, they're clearly going to be the one seed. They're clearly going to be the favorite going into the tournament. You know, they might be tested late in the season by Scarborough or South Portland, but, you know, for now, it's Chevres and everyone else, but the everyone else is kind of fascinating because you've got the next several teams, you know, good luck figuring out who's the best out of this group. You know, Gorham, Westbrook, who's been pounding the ball lately, you know, Wyndham, Scarborough, Bonnie Eagle, they're all playing really good ball. South Portland, you know, that's 2 through 7, and I'm not sure who the 2 is and who the 7 is, and I think that's going to fluctuate a lot over the last week and a half. But any of those teams can beat the other, and I think, you know, the big thing in that region is you want to be the 2 seed to get 2 home playoff games ideally, or the 3 seed, and that way you avoid Cheverus potentially until a regional final. So, you know, there certainly is some impetus for these teams to win late, and there's a lot of big games still to come for all of them. So there's going to be some good softball to watch here in the weeks to come. And then, of course, we'll get to see if Cheverus can finish it off come playoff time, because they'll certainly be the heavy favorite.
Yeah, and I know, obviously, we talk a lot about the top of that, but it was cool to see. I read your article there on HoffersHighSchoolSports.com on the game in Scarborough with Westbrook, too, who put up quite a display of of power. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about them? Because I thought that was really cool because, again, Westbrook maybe not being talked about a lot, but they clearly got some bats down there.
They do. I mean, they lost early to Cheverus. They lost a 1-0 game to Gorham, but they've beaten everyone else. They won 6 in a row. They had 19 runs on 18 hits in a 4-inning win at Scarborough. I went to that game the other day. In no means did I think there was going to be a mercy rule ending to that one. But they started swinging from the get-go and just crushed the ball. And then their most recent outing, they scored 12 runs against a South Portland team that was red hot. So, you know, Brian Ross, this team is legit. I knew they had high hopes coming into the season. It's been a long time since Westbrook's been this good. But, you know, of that group, they have every reason to believe they're just as good as anyone else. You know, Gorham's impressed me because they've had a couple of really tough wins, late-inning wins against good teams, including Wyndham the other night where they were down 4-2 going to the bottom of the sixth inning, and in the blink of an eye, they score 8 runs and win that. So they're very capable. They had a signing ceremony last week. They have 5 players from the team that are going on to play next year. So that's a really talented squad, too. A lot of good pitchers, a lot of good bats. You know, Cheverus certainly kind of stands alone right now, but that doesn't mean there's not a whole lot of talent everywhere else.
No, certainly is a lot of talent everywhere else. Looking at some of the other classes in softball, Madomic Valley seems to be having a real dominant run in a lot of sports right now, and they are on the softball diamond right now, 10-1. They're starting to put some distance, it seems like, at least record-wise, between themselves and a lot of the other B-South schools.
Right, although they do have that blemish now. You know, until the other day, they were undefeated. So they lost to Gardner. I guess they proved mortal there. But, you know, as the defending champs, I think you got to view them as the favorite, especially as dominant as they've been, certainly. And, you know, there's other teams that are on their tail, like, you know, Levitt, Lake Region. And Poland's had some nice wins this season. I don't think you could ever write off York. I mean, they're down there a little bit in the heels, but their record is still excellent. You know, this is a team that for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years or so has been as good as anyone. You know, even Erskine Academy, you know, we don't really talk much about them. You know, Yarmouth can hit the ball with anybody. They're a team that's always going to be a tough out. You could say the same about Greeley. So, yeah, a lot of good teams in Class B South as well.
And as we maybe can turn to the lacrosse field here, I know one that definitely jumped out at me from Hoffers High School Sports this week. On the girls' side, we had a rematch of the state championship game in Class A between Wyndham and Kennebunk. Of course, that was a big deal because Wyndham pulled the upset there. Well, they beat Kennebunk again this week here and handed Kennebunk their first loss. So what is it right now about Wyndham that seems to be competing really well against this team that nobody else can seem to figure out how to beat?
Yeah, I think they just have the right recipe. They play from ahead, they take care of the ball, and they can milk clock when they have to, and that's something that Kennebunk does as well as anybody. So really, they've kind of, you know, turned the tables on this powerhouse program. And you know, I'm a big believer. I know I've probably mentioned this many times over the years talking to you guys that a mid to late season loss is not the worst thing for a championship caliber program. I think sometimes it gets you refocused. It's just what the doctor ordered. You don't like it in the moment. But, you know, in the long run, it's a good thing. And it certainly seems to be the case because I saw Kennebunk again yesterday at Falmouth where they completely dominated and won 15-4. They won going away. And they looked just like the Kennebunk team that had existed before that game on Tuesday against Wyndham. But, yeah, you know, the Eagles, they have a couple losses this year. Let's not forget. They've stumbled a couple times, but they seem to really get up for Kennebunk. They saved their best for Kennebunk. You know, if they meet again in the tournament, who knows? I mean, you know, maybe they're the team that's just Kennebunk's kryptonite right now. But, you know, the Rams, I would not write them off with all their All-American talent. And, you know, like I said, I think they're refocused now. you know, Thornton Academy is having a fantastic year. They've got a showdown tonight at home against Yarmouth, which I think will be very telling. But, you know, they won seven straight, and they've proved they can beat everybody except for Kennebunk so far. But they have a win over Windham. Chevers is having a fantastic season. You know, Falmouth, Yarmouth certainly are in the mix, too. Scarborough is a team you have to take seriously. So it's not just a two-team race there in Class A, which it kind of was last year. I think that, you know, a Yarmouth or a TA or a Chevers could crash that party this time around, even Falmouth, if all goes well. So, so far so good there in Class A lacrosse, and that certainly did catch my eye as well. I did not expect that result the other day.
Yeah, and I noticed, too, in your newsletter here that one of my favorites, look forward to it every week, my man. Two juniors at Scarborough catching 100 points, too. Looks like regardless of how this year goes, Scarborough's going to have a nice core coming back next year for women's lacrosse.
Yeah, and they've been competitive against some of the top. They need to break through and beat one of the top teams. You know, I saw them play Thornton Academy in an absolute downpour last week, and you know they were close for a little bit, and then TA kind of won going away, but you know, they need to get a big win, but yeah, they're a team that's close, and you know, maybe they can get over the hump this year and get a big win. But yeah, I think they might still be a year away. But yeah, certainly some good talent there. And you know, you look at Class B in lacrosse, it certainly seems like Greeley's the clear favorite, but I know that they're very aware of where Freeport is, even though Freeport's record is not anywhere close to what it was last season when they went undefeated and won the championship. But you know, a big win for Freeport the other night at Cape Elizabeth. And you know, the big question for me is, where are they going to finish in the heels? Are Greeley and Freeport going to have to play in the semis like they did last year, or will we get a state game? And that's not to say anything about teams like Messalonsky, who are certainly capable too. But, you know, it certainly seems like, for my money, if Greeley's going to get knocked off, Freeport would be the one that might have a shot to do so.
Yeah, that's certainly interesting. Let's turn our attention over to the boys' side here in lacrosse and in Class A right now. I mean, my goodness, just the top four are still rolling right along, and nobody's beaten Falmouth or Thornton Academy yet. Yarmouth and Edward Little each still with one loss.
Yeah, we got a showdown tonight. Looking forward to the first big test for Falmouth comes tonight when Yarmouth comes to town. And those two teams played a really exciting game a year ago. I know you remember how that dominant that Falmouth team was, and I think Yarmouth was their first big test last year, and it was a close game for three quarters, and then Falmouth pulled away and won fairly decisively. I think it's going to be a little closer this time around. You know, Yarmouth's got a great goalie in Will Redfield. They've got some top-notch defenders. If they can score enough, they will, I think, hang around and give Falmouth a game. And Falmouth hasn't been pushed to the wire this year, so I'll be curious to see what happens if that happens. And then, of course, Yarmouth has TA coming up, and Falmouth has TA coming up. So, you know, all these best games are coming at the end, which is what you want, right? I think coaches would agree. You want to have championship, you know, playoff-caliber games late in the regular season. It certainly gets you ready for the postseason. So, you know, these are going to be some can't-miss games over the next week or two. And, you know, TA got pushed a little bit by Deering a couple weeks ago, but really, for the most part, they haven't been tested either, but they really do have a tough closing stretch. With Yarmouth, Scarborough, who's quietly having a really good season, and then Falmouth. And then, you know, who knows with Edward Little? They've got the gaudy record. I mean, kudos to them, but I don't think they're playing anywhere near the caliber of competition that, you know, TA Falmouth and Yarmouth see in each other. You know, I think if you're looking for a dark horse, Deering is capable of beating anybody. Like I mentioned, so is Scarborough. So there's definitely some good teams in the hunt there. But yeah, I think the top three have set themselves apart, and the question for me is it a top two or a top three? And I think we'll start to get that answer tonight.
Very, very good there. How about Class B and C boys lacrosse here? Any storylines jumping out at you there?
Yeah, I just think, you know, with Yarmouth gone now, there's just really a vacuum. You know, who's the team to beat? York's lost in overtime in the state game the last 2 years, but they've graduated a lot. They've been a little vulnerable this year, but you look at the heel points, and there they are in the one spot. Yeah, I think Messalonsky is capable of going very, very deep this year and maybe helping fill that void. Mount Ararat's having a nice season. Another, you know, a couple of the teams on my radar, Greeley, really coming along nicely. They've won 6 out of 7 after a slow start. I think they're a team that they might still be a year away, but they might be good enough to make a deep run this season. And Freeport, even though they've had some tough losses of late, they've lost twice to NYA by a goal. They're, you know, they're another team that's got talent and could make a run. So, you know, that's fascinating there. I think, you know, NYA is the defending champ in C, and they're certainly having another great season. For my money, they're probably the favorite again. But I know, you know, teams like Wells and Marinacook Winthrop loom Miranda Winthrop was in the state game with NYU last year, so it won't come easily, but NYU is certainly in a good position to repeat, and that's amazingly, that program has never gone back-to-back in its glorious history. They've won a lot of championships over the years, but they've never won consecutive titles, and this year's team has a chance to do that.
Very good. Thanks so much for the update. Again, Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports with our Southern Maine High School Sports Report. Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk again next Friday.
Sounds good, guys. Great to chat with you.
You got it. Again, Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports with our Southern Maine High School Sports Report. We're back to conclude our second hour of the show next on Middays with Mannix and Mannix.